Terrorist attack in Moscow leaves people wondering who was behind it. Bridge in Baltimore collapses after ship rams into it. And first human to have Neuralink can play video games with his mind. All that and more on today's episode of Contemporary Insanity. The views expressed in this episode do not represent the opinions or values of Kentucky Wesleyan College. Please don't sue us.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Braden Jennings.
And I'm John Payment.
And welcome back to this week's episode of Contemporary Insanity, a show that highlights and discusses the realm of American politics and interviews guests on the origins of their own political beliefs.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm John Payment, and I'm with Braden Jennings.
Hello, everybody. Let's just jump right in.
Yeah, the first story is the terrorist attack in Moscow that happened on, what did it happen? Was it Friday?
Happened like 5 or 6 days ago.
Yeah. So basically, was it four terrorists went into a theater in Moscow, or it's like a mall type deal, but a theater in Moscow, and they killed, I think, 100 and, I had the number pulled up. 143 people and killed 80 others. The Moscow police and Russian special forces hunted down the terrorists. They're all in custody. They used some violent means to get them into custody, but I don't really blame them.
So it says here, yeah, the death toll is 143.
Yep.
And, yeah. Was it four? I thought it was 11. Was it only four? I thought it was 11.
I only saw pictures of four people in custody.
Oh, four yeah. people were arrested, but I think there was 11.
No, it says 11 people arrested.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You're right.
Terrible tragedy. Very sad. Didn't know that ISIS was in Russia. If it was ISIS. Which...
Well...
It was ISIS.
It was ISIS-K, which is based in Afghanistan, which borders countries that border Russia. There's a line of borders former Soviet nations that Russia has a lot of influence in.
Yes, Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, all those nations were at once occupied by the USSR. But why is ISIS attacking Russia?
They said it was revenge for Chechnya, Afghanistan, and Syria.
They just waited until now.
Well, Russia's still in Syria, bombing them regularly.
Well, that's true. But Afghanistan, you know, that's... You know,
that's been a while, and Chechnya's been like 20 years.
Maybe I'm just confused, because obviously Russia is in a stalemate war with Ukraine, but, you know, then we have these new players coming in, and... Remember, like, in 2016, 2017, there was terrorist attacks kind of all over Western Europe and in the United States.
Yep.
They were, like, running people over in vans, and there was car bombs, and there was the attack in Paris, which you were going to go to Paris.
Yes, I lived in Europe when this was happening.
Yeah, so were you going to be in Paris at the same time that happened, or did you all cancel your trip after it happened?
I think we went 2 weeks before it happened. We were in the time range.
That's terrifying. But, I mean, like I said, it's a tragedy, but we've talked about this on air, and you said that there's no conspiracies behind this. It was simply just a terrorist attack. It was just simply, you know, jihadist extremists, and they were killing innocent civilians. They did all that. But are you aware that there have been articles that have been written, and I'm not trying to go like Alex Jones here. I'm just saying. It worries me that there have been multiple articles that have been written that have said that NATO and the United States weapons that have been sent to Ukraine may fall into the hands of terrorists. Weapons that in the past that have not been sent by the U.S. and NATO, Ukraine has sold to terrorists in the Middle East. So this is not a foreign idea, but it's just interesting that they kind of predicted this, if true. Obviously,
well, Ukraine... the pictures of the terrorists, they were using Russian-made weapons. The main picture I saw, most of them had AK-105s.
I can't tell by the video footage what kind of weapons they're using. How can you confirm that? It's all blurry footage.
people take still screens, and people that know more about guns than I do a deep dive on it.
Well, I haven't seen any articles about it. You may be completely correct. I'm not trying to downplay the attack. It's obviously, it's horrible. What's interesting to me, and you told me this the other day, so obviously Russian police, some may argue, may be as brutal as ours, but obviously I disagree.
More brutal?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, there's a stigma, you know, police brutality in the U.S. is so bad, but... and. That's a whole nother, you know, thing to digest. But the Russian police cut one of the terrorists' ears off and forced them to eat it. Is that true?
There is a video of it, yes.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, American police don't do that, at least on American soil. I'm not sure about what goes on in Guantanamo. But
Guantanamo is a different story.
But even after terrorist attacks, we don't... terrorize people.
Yeah, I mean, but those, so four of them who were arrested pleaded guilty, so they're...
Yeah, the thing about this that makes me quite sure that it was Islamic terrorists and they were blaming Chechnya was that during one of the Chechen wars, a similar thing happened with a theater in Moscow where terrorists went in and took people hostage. They killed 132 people and injured over 700. It's basically the same playbook over again.
Yeah. I'm not going to, like, sit here and disagree with you. I just thought, you know, it's interesting when you see those articles. And that the article that I was referring to was written in 2022.
I mean, yeah, it could also be the CIA. I mean, they reported that there was going to be... they reported that there was going to be terror attacks in Moscow 2 weeks before. People that have been following the Ukraine war have said that we're going into the partisan phase where there's going to be partisan action by both sides.
But did they know maybe where the attack was going to happen, or did they just know that there was going to be an attack in Moscow? I haven't read the details on this.
The CIA report says there's to watch out for large gatherings in Moscow, especially theaters. Which this happened in a theater, so that makes me think that they at least knew something was going to happen in a theater in Moscow. I don't know if they had a connection to it. I don't think they do personally. I think that it was ISIS, just straight up ISIS doing it. But I don't know. There's always that possibility on the table. The CIA is not above committing terrorist attacks in other nations, as we know from the Cold War.
Yeah, there's no denying that shady stuff goes on. But, you know, it is a tragedy. And I saw where Putin released a message, but it was just typical. He was just saying these people should pay for what's happened and talked about the lives of that were lost.
Well, Moscow, I saw let me make sure this report's real.
While we're on the topic of Moscow, and I think this is interesting. It's pretty irrelevant. Have you seen Joseph Lenin's body in Russia?
Personally, no. I've never been to Russia, but I have seen pictures of it.
Have you? This is very interesting. I wish we could show the people a picture. Obviously, Vladimir Lenin led the Bolshevik Revolution and was the first leader of the Communist Party in Russia. But this guy, his body is encased in a glass tomb, but his body is not, like, you can see his body. It's like an open casket. But he's been dead for how many years? 80 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the wildest thing. And I didn't know this, but in Russia, the Communist Party obviously wants to keep it that way, but some factions argue that they should, like, bury him.
I mean, yeah, the Communist Party is still the second largest party in Russia, and they still have, and Putin still has connections to the Communist Party. Like, he was in the KGB before he became a politician, so clearly he's going to still have connections to them. But I pulled up this story, and a member of parliament has accused the UK of being involved in the terror attack in Moscow last week. Or accused the U.S. and the U.K. of lying about involvement.
Wait, so Parliament said this?
Yes, a member of parliament. George Galloway.
Interesting, interesting. He's going to be dead in 24 hours.
Yeah, probably.
He's gonna mysteriously commit suicide by two shotgun shells to the chest. What's the next story? What else we got going on? What's going on in America?
Well, in retaliation for the attack in Russia, Moscow destroyed a bridge in Baltimore. It was the moon. The moon did it.
It was the moon. What else?
I think the
Mothman.
It wasn't Mothman. We've already ruled that out. Hey, Mothman expert wrote an entire story about how it was not Mothman. There was no Mothman sightings in the area, and before a Mothman destroys a bridge, there's always at least two sightings. So it was not Mothman.
The Mothman correspondent was quick to make sure to not blame him.
But it was literally the moon. The moon controls the tides.
Did you see, I saw an article, and this is how, even though I'm a Republican, it just shows just how stupid the media and Republicans are. I saw an article, and it was like, Baltimore Bridge collapses after hit by shipping container. And then it said, how migrants are to blame. I was like, what?
To be fair, it was a foreign ship.
They were flying a Singapore flag. Yeah. I saw that.
But when you're in a port in America, I think most places in the world, it's a local crew that drives a ship in and out of port.
Well, or they'll have like one of those, what are they called? Like the small boats.
Well, they're supposed to do both. For some reason, there was not tenders on the thing, maybe because it was late or because something was going on.
I'm just confused because obviously they're doing an investigation right now that's open and there's still a lot that's unknown. But from the video footage that I've seen, the cargo ship starts to lose power, it looks like.
Yeah.
And then it just looks like it deliberately just drives into the bridge. So I don't know what happened. They said it was manned by a crew of six. I saw something about six individuals have died.
Well, yeah, that was the construction crew on the bridge.
That's what I saw.
Yeah, they're the ones that died. I don't know how big the crew on the ship was.
Did anybody die on the ship?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
That's what I was getting confused.
But the ship lost power and then regained power. They dropped the anchor. I think dropping the anchor is what messed them up because as soon as they drop the anchor, you see the ship veer off. But I've seen some people in the shipping world say that dropping the anchor was what they were supposed to do according to their training, and other people say that when it's going like that, you don't drop anchor and just let the ship drift because if it drifted, it would have gone straight out of the building. It might have been an inexperienced crew. We don't know who this crew is.
Yeah, there's like I said, there's still a lot that's unknown. I saw where lawsuits have already been filed, but it's going to take insurance companies, I'm sure, will pay out before. But, I mean, the litigation is going to go on for probably a decade.
Whoever owns the ship isn't paying for the destruction right now. It's the government that's paying.
The federal government are going to provide relief. Just in some way. They need to get the bridge back up.
It takes years to build a bridge. Right now, the big priority is getting the pieces out of the water because right now that port's completely shut down. It's one of the biggest ports in America.
So is that bridge, is that the only way to get out is going across that or going under that bridge?
Yes, in the Baltimore port, yes.
Because I would assume that there's a part of the bridge that is high enough for boats to be able to go under.
I mean, yeah, the part that they were supposed to go under is that part. The problem is they hit one of the support struts.
They hit, like,
struts.
On one of the ends, yeah.
Yeah, they hit a support strut, which collapsed the bridge fast. Some people have said this is probably a cyber attack, which, I mean, it's possible.
Let's be clear, Alex Jones is one of those people that said it was a cyber attack.
People other than Alex Jones, too, people that are in the tech field have said that it would make sense if a cyber attack did this. I don't think it's a cyber attack. I think there's reports that the ship has had damage in the past, which could have led to power outages, like regular power outages.
Yeah, my gut just tells me that it was just a freak accident, and that, you know, but people are quick to point fingers at, you know, interesting people because, or interesting things because it's going to get them views, you know.
And the timing people are jumping to, it's retaliation for the attack in Moscow.
Why doesn't that surprise me, John?
Because it makes sense. Like, if America was involved in the attack in Moscow, something to do would be to shut down one of America's biggest ports, because that's going to raise prices on a bunch of stuff in America.
Yeah, I saw where that port is one of the houses much of the car imports.
Yeah.
Like, that's where a lot of car imports happen. So, I don't know.
If you're moving to Europe in the military, your car is shipped to Baltimore to be shipped over to Europe.
Yeah, I think I remember you telling me that a couple years ago.
So,
so people aren't going to be getting their cars anytime soon.
Yeah, some families that recently got PCS'd are going to be screwed.
Yeah, that sucks. What else is in the news?
Oh. We also have the first person that has Neuralink in their brain is able to play video games. He played chess online, and he played Civilization VI.
That is... I saw the video of him playing chess.
Are you gonna get the chip in your brain?
I'm not going to be I'm not going to be the second person to get it, that's for sure. I mean...
Why not? It's safe.
Not right now. I think
don't want to connect to the computers. You don't want to advance.
Have you ever played the game Wolfenstein, video game? I think it was the first one, maybe. I can't remember. Anyways, like the final boss or whatever is one of the soldiers in your platoon. He gets kidnapped by the German soldiers. And by the military, and like the head German scientist puts his brain in a robot, but his brain is in the robot, and he's cognitive, but he can't move any of his extremities, obviously, because he doesn't have it. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have control of the machine, but he is in the machine, and he, at the end of the video game, he's like, please kill me. I'm stuck. You know, I'm alive, but I'm not really alive because I have no control. And you're like fighting the robot, but you're fighting him.
Are you
and
he's afraid like, that's going to happen to you if you put the chip in your hand?
Yes. Yes, that is exactly what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of not having control.
No, Elon said
I'm also afraid that I already have ADD. So like if I'm able to just play video games in my own mind while like I'm sitting at a place.
Well, right now it's like you can connect to a computer.
And I don't see I see the benefit of it, I guess, for like productivity, but I feel like, I mean, something could go awry so easily and you just completely lose your mind.
Right now it's for people that are paralyzed and stuff.
Well, yeah, but
the thing that I think is most interesting is Elon said that eventually you'd be able to communicate with people without speaking, just through the electronic waves. It's like if everyone had a chip in their head.
It's like telepathic Bluetooth or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrifying because, like, what if somebody, you know, obviously they're going to be able to hack this technology. So, what if you walk into a room and somebody can look at you and then just start playing a song in your head? That would be kind of cool.
That'd be funny. The problem is when they make you kill someone.
Or what is it going to be like? Yeah, hopefully it doesn't like impact the frontal lobe or whatever.
Or they have like thought police.
Like, yeah, what if like you think of something that goes against the agenda, and then all of a sudden you feel like a sharp pain in your arm, and you're like, what the hell was that?
Or they'd boost dopamine when you thought about something pro government, and dip it when you thought about something anti government. So you'd get addicted to thinking pro government things.
And you were the one person, and you were the same person who the other day said, I'm not afraid of AI. It's not going to take over.
That's not AI. That's getting a chip in your head and having the government control it.
Obviously, there's some overlap there. I mean, eventually, AI is not that, but, you know, AI is going to be doing our jobs while we're out, like, dicking around, you know, playing video games with our mind and, you know, watching, you know.
People like to work too much.
Do they?
Yes, people that don't work are depressed.
People who can't work feel like they have no meaning, so then they get depressed. But, like, But corporations don't care about that. Corporations don't care about workers' feelings. They just care about meeting the status quo.
Yeah, that's what unions are for. That is.
Are you pro-union?
Yes.
You are? You're pro-union?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Corporations suck. They're basically the government with extra steps.
But, and I've said this quite a bit, this AI revolution that's going on, that we're at, I believe the, I don't think we're at the very front of it. I think we're kind of, if it was on a 1/8 scale, we're like at the 2/8, okay?
No, in like 2016, they were able to make one that turned into a Nazi, so they had to turn it off and figure out how to make it not a Nazi.
That's what it can do. We're bouncing all over the place, but historically, you know, this is written down. How many political books is this written down in? You know, Lippmann talks about it. The founders talked about it. The enlightened thinkers talked about it. I'm sure your buddy Marcus Aurelius talked about it at some point. People who feel that they have no meaning in a liberal society is not conducive to that. Hold on, let me.
Yeah, that's why the globalists are pushing an elitist society and not a democratic society or a liberal society. They want the people that are up top and rich to be all happy. That's why they push depopulation. Like, do you remember the Georgia Guidestones that got blown up a few years ago?
No.
So it was basically pillars, and they had like rules for what not to do for the next society that came after ours fell. And one of the rules was don't let the population get over 500 million. That sketches me out. Because well, the people in power don't want the population over 500 million. There's 8 billion people on Earth. How many people do they have to kill to get to that number?
That's why the government did the pandemic. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, like, sorry. Got choked there for a second. Plato talks about this. I'm going to go, Plato in his eighth book says that, you know, democracy doesn't work if the population grows too large. Many political scientists and historians have argued this point. But that, we don't have to go on that tangent, but in terms of AI, you know, we know that corporations will sacrifice worker vitality and worker happiness in order to increase their amount of money. And what's interesting is that with the advancements of AI, obviously the fear is that AI is going to not only replace blue-collar workers, but also white-collar workers. And so we're going to be left, you know, with this huge population, but then we're going to also have people who are out of work because AI is cheaper. You know, AI systems who can, you know, draft paperwork and do menial, you know, administrative tasks, they don't need to take bathroom breaks. They don't need to go on lunch. They don't need to step away from their desk at all. They can just work, you know, 24 hours. So my fear is that in a society in America in which I think the mass already knows that they don't have power because they don't affect change because it's, you know, the bureaucrats, key players, and the wealthy that actually empower change. So this is only going to expand that problem. And you say AI is not going to take over. I think we're going to live in a Terminator society and then...
Here's what. You know what else is cheaper for corporations?
What?
Hiring children. You know what they don't do?
They can't do that anymore. No, that we have the our constitution and our laws prohibit that.
Unions pushed against that. You know what else corporations can't do? They can't force workers to work crazy hours. Why? Because of unions. They have to have bathroom breaks because of unions.
But okay, but unions don't have much power in Republican states. So
yeah, because the government gets involved and fucks them up. You need to have the government not involved and allow people to talk to their corporation themselves. Then you have to have the people capable to fight back against their corporations when the corporation doesn't listen to them.
Centralization equals bad.
Yes, always.
I think you have that tattooed.
I should.
You should.
Get on the other side.
Why don't people understand this, John?
Because people listen in school.
You know, if they would listen to us, they would know all the right answers and they know what to do. We're just morons. What else is in the news? What were we even talking about? The AI guy? We were talking about the chip in the head.
It was really cool in playing Civilization 6, though, because that's like a complex game, and he's like moving the cursor around the screen, and it's moving at like lightning speed.
It doesn't even look real. Like, I don't even, like, obviously I'm not a scientist or an engineer, or when I was looking at it, I was like, this is fake. This is for sure fake. Do you think it's even real, or do you think that they're just like fooling us all?
Oh, it's real. 100%.
You think to him?
Yeah.
It's so wild.
See, if it wasn't real and Elon couldn't prove that it was real, he wouldn't get funding for it.
Yeah, I mean, he has enough money himself, but all of his money's tied up in investments anyway.
It's all in stocks from his companies, so he can't like fund himself. He had to take out loans to buy Twitter.
Okay, what else?
We have Sam Bankman-Fried was put in prison or was sentenced to 25 years for his crypto scam. Do you remember that story from a few years ago?
I remember when I thought has he been on trial?
Yeah, he's been on trial for a while.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's a big Democrat donor. He lived.
Wasn't he the second largest?
Yeah, I think so. He lived in one of the islands in the Caribbean with a bunch of other tech creators. They had weird orgies.
Not as weird as what else was going on in the Caribbean.
I mean, yeah,
At least they're doing it with adults.
Yeah, at least they're all consenting adults.
at least it's right. That would have been just as worse. Let's see.
But everyone in the company lived in the same house, and they basically bumped up fake cryptos to pretend like they had more money than they did to get more people to pull money in, and then they stole people's money based on that.
So this is from the Wall Street Journal, and I'm quoting this verbatim. Less than 2 years ago, the mop-top millennial hobnobbed with heads of state, soaked up Caribbean views from his $30 million penthouse, and vowed to use his wealth to better humanity. And today, he was sentenced to 25 years in prison for what prosecutors called one of the largest financial frauds in U.S. history. He is a good old Democrat.
He's the reason people don't trust crypto, and it's stupid.
A jury last year found the 32-year-old guilty of stealing billions of dollars from FTX customers and defrauding the investors and lenders to his crypto investment from Alameda Research. Interesting. I'm surprised the Democrats aren't like, this is a witch hunt. This is an innocent man.
I don't know. When someone gets outed that bad, they have to give up.
Yeah. Only 25 years, though.
I mean, it was just fraud.
Just billions of dollars worth of fraud.
Yeah, but I don't know. Most crypto is safe.
I mean,
or Bitcoin's safe. The rest of crypto, there's like trash coins and meme coins and everything.
And maybe you'll disagree with this, I still view it as ludicrous and kind of gray, a gray area of the economy, mainly because I don't really understand it, because I haven't gotten into crypto or Bitcoin mining or, but I mean, what he did was awful, not the worst thing in the world, obviously, people have done much worse, but I mean, if you were in his place and you were, and you thought there was a, 50-50, I'm going to be a billionaire, and I probably am not going to get caught. Wouldn't you?
No, I'm not going to defraud a bunch of people.
I don't feel bad for the guy, but it's like,
I'm going to use crypto the proper way.
Maybe I'm missing out on all this money. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, my
Do you invest in crypto?
Yeah, my Bitcoin's more than doubled in the past month.
Did you see Dylan, our buddy, he was explaining to me this on the phone today, how in a couple days something's going to happen with Bitcoin.
The halvening, yeah. And I'm going to sell right after.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell a few days after, because after the halving, so the halvening basically means the number that you have to get to be a Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is a bunch of randomly generated rare numbers, and you use computers to figure out what those numbers are. And if you figure out the number, you get a Bitcoin. And then you sell that Bitcoin, and other people hold it because it's a precious resource. It's a finite resource.
Mm-hmm.
When the halvening happens, the probability that you're going to get a Bitcoin out of your mining is cut in half. So it becomes harder to get Bitcoin, so the price jumps. The price usually, in the past, it's gone up like four times, but then it usually crashes right after. So my plan is to, once the halvening happens, I'm going to sell like 2 days later before the crash. This is not financial advice. I'm just a dumb
What it
person.
Sounds like is you're going to be able to take me on vacation in a couple days. Let's see. We're professionals. I'm totally not scrolling through the Wall Street Journal to continue the conversations that we're having. Let's see. Gaza ceasefire talks threatens Netanyahu's long run as political survivor. Boring. Let's see. Fear grows among families of Americans held in Russia. Happy, happy, happy. The news is so depressing. No wonder nobody watches it. But that's what we're here for. We're here to lighten it up.
We're here to make jokes.
Yeah. We make news fun. All right.
Yeah, what's trending on Twitter? We'll see what's going on.
Has anything happened this week that, besides...
It's been a crazy slow news week.
This is what... Yeah.
On the podcasts, the last 2 days, they've talked about YouTube drama on the news channels I watch. There's really slow news.
Yeah, but then, you know, we'll put this episode out, and then tomorrow...
Yeah, tomorrow
crazy...
we're going to go into war, and it's going to be, oh, well, we missed a bad day. Something that did happen today is the news story I sent you before the show. James Comer invited Biden to speak in front of the
House Oversight Committee.
Yeah. His impeachment inquiry.
Do you think Biden should be impeached?
I mean, yeah, it's impeachment is literally just charges for crimes, or it's not even charges for crimes. It's the investigation. Yeah. So the inquiry is the investigation before the investigation. Impeachment is just figuring out if they should be charged with a crime. Impeachment doesn't really mean anything. It's the conviction that happens in the Senate that means something, and there's a Democrat Senate, so
not going to happen.
It's not going to go anywhere. But having everything out in the open and them legally required to give documents, because right now they're not giving documents and they're not testifying, would be good. Like, even if what I think is going to come out doesn't come out, it would be good to have it in the open and not Biden sitting in the White House being like, I'm not talking to anyone.
Yeah, impeachments, especially with Trump, they were more just like shots at the president. Like political shots, you know, they weren't.
I mean, yeah,
they weren't. I don't think some of them were that serious, you know. Especially
neither of them were. There was Ukraine great was a joke.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, someone told me that they overheard someone talking about a phone call they heard with Trump about figuring out about getting dirt on Biden from the Ukrainians, and then the entire story came out. It's like, oh. Trump asked about this specific video of Joe Biden saying that he was going to withhold money from the Ukrainians if they didn't fire a prosecutor. And now the Republicans are investigating Biden for that video. And Biden saying that never happened. I don't know what you're talking about.
you know, I'm going to vote for Biden in the next election.
Hunter I'm Biden. Ride an elf.
Hunter Biden. No.
No, I'm not ride in Hunter. We're in Kentucky. I'll ride in Hunter Biden.
Yeah. I did see, and this just came to my mind, did you see where RFK Jr. announced who his VP candidate is?
Oh, yeah. She bought her way in.
Oh, and he also tanked his entire campaign.
Well, he changed it from being a trying to get both Trump and Biden voters. This is clearly just targeting Biden voters.
Yeah. Like, and that's what his base said. Like, in the comments, they were like, "Welp, you lost my vote." I mean, it was literally like hundreds and hundreds of people saying, "Welp, yep, you lost me."
She's been a crazy Democrat forever. And like, she donated to Biden in 2020. A lot of money to Biden in 2020. And once RFK announced, she started supporting his campaign. She paid for a Super Bowl commercial. She has no experience in government, which for RFK, the politically smart thing would be to get someone that has experience in government, because the main criticism against him is he's a political outsider.
I think it would have been smart for him to go with a moderate conservative.
That too, a moderate conservative that has been in government, like who would be good.
I thought it would have been interesting to see Vivek.
Yeah, but they disagree on most things.
Yeah, but I mean, his whole thing has been he's trying to reshape the view of the presidency.
Yeah.
The problem is that the voters
gonna,
are the problem
one of these days.
After I'm excited. I'm not really excited for I am excited for the 2024 election just cuz it's going to be chaos. But I'm excited.
It's a political nerd Super Bowl.
I'm excited for the 2028 election.
Oh yeah, that'll be interesting.
Because it can't be Biden.
Can't be Trump. It'll be primaries.
It can be Biden. Yeah, unless Biden wins.
Unless Biden wins.
And then Trump's gonna.
Imagine Biden running. How old would he be?
How old is he now?
He's 82 now.
So if he wins again, he'll be
86 when he gets in.
Yeah.
90.
90 years old.
I want that to happen. Just to see the ludicrousy, I want that to happen.
He's going to be wheelchair bound and demented.
So he's now effectively. Or there's a thing, Karine Jean-Pierre was on a radio show, and it's like a left-leaning radio show, and the guy's like, "Hey, people are going to hate me if I don't ask this question. People have been asking this question. Does Joe Biden have dementia?"
Oh, are you talking about the Piers Morgan?
It wasn't Piers. I don't think it was Piers Morgan. No, because it was like a radio show. It didn't have him.
I thought you said Piers Morgan. No. What's his name? Dave Smith was on it. And then that other, the Democrat YouTube guy. What's his name?
Destiny.
Destiny, yeah. And then there was a conservative influencer.
Oh, Destiny's been going on the circuit and been getting destroyed by everyone he debates. It's hilarious. He doesn't possess the capability for embarrassment.
No, he doesn't. He was on Lex Fridman. He was on Piers Morgan. He was on, who else? Oh, he debated Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, the Jordan Peterson one's funny because Jordan Peterson isn't like a hardline Republican. He's just like a chill dude.
Yeah, he's like an evangelical now.
I think he's always been. He did a thing with the Daily Wire where he just went through Genesis with a bunch of other people that study the Bible.
I heard that was good.
Yeah, I've been planning to watch it. I haven't yet.
You know, it seems like, I mean, Trump's been in the news a lot, but I'm almost exhausted with even talking about his.
That's part of the Trump appeal now, is Trump's a mud monster. If you throw more mud at him, he's still a mud monster. Like, there's nothing else they can add to Trump to make him not appealing for the people he's already appealing to.
Yeah, like, and I think to kind of back what you're saying, the more attention they give him, and even if it's like accusations or convictions of, you know, all these crimes, and it's only made him more popular.
Yeah.
Like, he may have actually done this stuff, like committed real crimes, which I'm sure he has. People, they don't even care. They're like, it's gone so far that they're like, okay, well, I'm still going to vote for him because this is ridiculous.
Did you see the thing with Jon Stewart? Where he did, he went on a rant about Trump's crimes. He's like, yeah, the government knows that he faked the values of his property because the government has tax records for the property. And then some people did some internet sleuthing and found a property that he had that was valued for taxes at $1.8 million.
Yeah, be careful. When you're in the public eye, you got to be careful about going after other people. So
it was valued at $1.8 million. Guess how much he sold it for?
It was valued at $1.8?
Yeah.
He sold it. I don't know.
He sold it for $17 million.
Okay. I wasn't going to go that high. I was going to say like 3 or 4, but...
So he did the exact same thing.
all rich people do. All millionaires do. It's ignorant to say all, but the majority, I'm sure.
Everyone that does property in New York does this. Everyone that owns a house that sells their house, they aren't going to sell it based on how much... they aren't going to sell it based on how much taxes they're spending on it. They're going to sell it for how much they can sell it for. Right?
Yeah. That's just people just trying to make, you know, you're trying to make money.
It's like the government doesn't decide the property value of your house. Like, even if you look up property values in a neighborhood, there could be someone that doesn't want the house at all that sells it for cheaper than the property value is. And there could be someone that the house has a bunch of sentimental value to that won't sell a $500,000 house for less than like $6 million.
Yeah, I mean,
but property values are completely subjective. There's no objective property value that exists.
Yeah, it's all going to be who can I get more money out of?
Yeah.
But you know that wraps up the insanity of the week. Any final note before we head out of here?
Donate to campaigns.
Get out, pay attention, you know. It's obviously one of the great dilemmas of this country is people are uninformed, and we have uninformed voters, and we have a lack thereof. You know, people need to get registered. It doesn't take long. It takes a few minutes. You can do it on your cell phone.
If you aren't informed, don't register. If you're listening to this podcast, you should definitely register that.
Well, here's the thing, though. Anybody who's listening to this podcast is now informed.
Yeah.
So.
And if they're listening, they might agree with us. So they're going to vote the way I want them to. So, yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, go register to vote. If you have a friend that's uninformed, don't bring them. The less people voting, the better.
There should be certain, not only educational requirements to vote, we need to have, like, life habits that if you partake in, you shouldn't be able to vote. Let's name off a few before we head out here.
No. If I do that, I'll get canceled.
It doesn't have to be, like, horrible. It could just, you know, if you go the speed limit in the left lane, you shouldn't be able to vote. You have to be able to, you need, if you're not speeding in the left lane and passing cars, you shouldn't be able to.
The left lane's for crime.
What else? Who else should just not vote?
See, people that don't go to church shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Well, I don't know about that one, John. Let's see.
People that got a gender studies degree in college shouldn't be allowed to vote.
If you got a gender studies degree, minor or major, you should not be able to vote.
People got an English degree in college.
Hey, we're getting... That's not fair.
We're getting political science degrees. We're studying this.
Well, that's true, but...
It's just as useless, but we're studying politics.
That's right. I mean, what do you have to provide for being an English major to the public? You're a good poem?
I can read books.
A good poem? Poems are lame. If you like poems, don't vote. That would be a good qualification.
John Locke would agree with that statement.
But no, that's silly. Thank you all again for listening to this episode of Contemporary Insanity. Check in next week. We're actually going to have Mayor Tom Watson of Owensboro on here in a couple weeks, so look out for that. And with that, we say thank you, and everyone have a good night.
Peace out.